Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Good day and welcome to Westchester Talk Radio. WestchesterTalkRadio.com, produced by Shark Creative. I'm John Marino. We are made possible by Robeson Oil, the house that service built. Lipolis Electric, don't be left in the dark. Get Lipolis. By Hightower Westchester, managing your wealth to a fiduciary standard. White Plains Hospital joins us, as does Michael Labriola, landscape design and construction of Armonk and Tompkins Mayo Pack Bank. This is the sports report. We are joined by Josh Thompson, the sports editor of the Journal News here in Westchester and the Poughkeepsie Journal in Dutchess County. Josh Thompson, here we are. A new school season is underway. The 2021 fall high school campaign in Section 1 in the Lower Hudson Valley, Section 9, Mid-Hudson Valley. You cover it all. I spoke to a few days ago as the season got underway, an athletic director in Westchester, and I said, are you going to run your senior days early in the season like you did last spring during the spring season and during the fall 2020 season, which ran in winter of 2021? And he gave me an interesting response. He said, let's try to do a regular season all the way around and see what that brings us. I thought that was pretty interesting and a good way to look at it. And I think also it reflects where we are at. We'd like to be back to normal. Maybe we are not.
Yeah, you know, I think that what, you know, you had heard from that athletic director is pretty much what I've heard from everybody, that, you know, they're trying to do things as normally as possible, you know, certainly for the outdoor sports. The only indoor sport is volleyball, which has some limited fan attendance, masks, things like that. But outside of that, it seems like it's been pretty much business as usual. I've only heard of a couple teams so far having to quarantine. So it's been a pretty successful start, all things considered. And, you know, certainly when you're at games last weekend, it kind of felt much more like normal. So, you know, that's kind of where I think the teams here are at. I think schools are hopeful after a positive end to the spring season that will kind of carry over and things will be similar in the fall. Obviously, with the Delta variant, you know, there's been, you know, a wrench thrown into it that is, you know, brought out some nervousness and some apprehension. But, you know, I think until there are problems, I think the schools are kind of taking the approach that they'll, you know, cross that bridge when they come to it. And I think right now, yeah, the idea is to kind of proceed as normal as much as possible.
Now, I worked public address for Edgemont and Scarsdale and Irvington and football and a variety of other sports at both schools. And what I've seen so far fan-wise, especially for football, at the Edgemont season opener last week, which was the home opener against Edgemont, lost, surprisingly, I thought, to Greeley. I saw more fans there at that Friday night game, one night, from both sides, from the Greeley fans and the Edgemont fans, than I saw all of the fall 2020 season, football-wise, played in the spring of 21 at Edgemont in Scarsdale, and had to be a good 300 people at the game. And you were back to the dueling sections of students going back and forth with each other, piled on top of each other, singing, et cetera, having a great time. And it seemed like they didn't have a care in the world. In the booth, we were a little bit different. We were distancing and trying to do what we had to do, but being cognizant of what's going on in the world around us. I saw the same thing at Irvington Saturday against the Peekskill. A lot of fans came down from Northern Westchester down to Irvington, which was great to see for a building program for Peekskill to get that kind of support, regardless of the situation, and that we still have to deal with the Delta variant and this new MU variant too. Have fans been showing up around Section 1 and Section 9 in droves, basically, so far?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I went to three football games last weekend. I saw the same thing that you had mentioned. You know, I think you see some excitement and you know, you've seen many more students, obviously, than, you know, were either able to attend last winter or who did attend in the spring. You know, obviously, football games are going to bring out more fans anyway. But, you know, just with the capability to attend the game, it kind of changes things. And, know, you have cheerleaders back and bands and fans and things like that. And so I think that, that definitely is exciting. And, you know, I expect more of that to come. You know, people are hungry to get back and kind of replace things that they've lost over the last year and a half. You know, the things that they enjoyed, the things that, you know, kind of brought them excitement. And I think that, you know, these are good examples of that. And, you know, for you think about it, John, if you're a senior or a junior and, you know, you have friends or family who are on sporting, you know, sports teams the last couple of years, you haven't really been able to do things like go to a Friday night football game. So, you know, having that back, you know, I think you do see the excitement. And, you know, all three games I attended last week were, pretty well attended, including, you know, I went to a game between Pearl River and Bronxville. The game was played at Handle Field in Eastchester, so not at Bronxville's home field. Pearl River, obviously not a rival, not a team that is anywhere close to the field, and yet both sides had a lot of fans at the game. And I think that's, you know, there's no parking there. You know, Bronxville had been moved there because their field had been damaged by Hurricane Ida. And so, you know, that's kind of a recipe for a game that wouldn't have a large crowd. And yet people kind of, you know, went outside of their way to attend the game. And I thought that made it exciting. And, you know, it's a good sign, I think, of things to come. That's what I'd expect the rest of the year.
Are players, coaches, and athletic directors tired of having to comply with protocols? You have to do what you have to do. And yet you look at people in real life, like maybe you, and I didn't think I'd get tired of all these protocols, but you reach a point where you are.
You know, John, I don't think there are that many left for these teams to go through. And you know, I'm sure that a coach or an AD could give me examples and say they had this in place and that in place. But I think locker room use is really the last, you know, major thing that that is not happening right now. You know, I think that the outdoors, the masks are gone for the most part. I think that that was obviously a big factor. Fan attendance, well, fans are back. So that was obviously a big factor last year. You don't see many quarantines right now. Like I said, I've only heard of one soccer team and one football team so far. So, you know, that's something that's obviously changed since last fall when the CDC guidelines are much more strict in terms of, you know, what led to a quarantine and what does now. So I don't know that there are as many, outside of wearing masks in schools, I don't know that there are as many guidelines and restrictions now as there were to get sick of, to be honest. So I'm sure the teams miss, you know, being able to go in the locker room and change in the locker room and kind of the camaraderie that, you know, can kind of occur in a place like that. People just kind of talking about the game or getting ready for practice. But I think outside of that, I don't see too many restrictions or guidelines that are still in place.
Have you seen any players in any sport so far wear a mask?
You know, I probably would have, you know, like I said, I went to three games last week, right? So I probably would have noticed it if it happened, and I don't remember seeing it. So I would say no. You know, like I said, indoors volleyball, you know, absolutely we have some pictures of students wearing masks, but not outdoors, no.
And I have some volleyball games myself coming up, too, so it's going to be interesting to see what's going on. Matter of fact, one instance I know I'll be moving back and forth between volleyball and whatever else might be going on outside at that time, and might be an interesting scenario to see masks on indoors, but you go outdoors, soccer, for example, I think the other cross-sectional sport it'll be that day, and outdoors, I'm expecting not to see anybody wearing a mask. Has the competition changed at all? The way the athletes go about competing throughout this pandemic, that maybe I'd go get that 50-50 ball in 2019 or early 2020, but may not be the best idea to really fight as hard as I can for that right now.
No, not at all, John. I mean, you I think what we saw last weekend was that the athletes were competing as hard as ever. And as evidenced by the fact that a couple of the night games I attended, it was in the 60s. And there were players dropping like flies from cramps. So I think they're playing pretty hard.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a good amount of injuries so far in the games I've been at, an inordinate amount, I think, so far. Is that a combination of time of year and players maybe not being hydrated yet, their bodies the right way, and maybe not being back into the full swing of things?
You know, I don't know. It's pretty normal this time of year for that to occur. This is not something that is unusual And as much as I joke about the weather being nice last weekend, I've seen it before where the first week of the season, you know, the conditioning level is only so high. You know, you haven't really competed full out in a game where you're playing, you know, as much as you can run in practice, you can kind of never simulate what goes on in a game. And, you know, we see whether it's hot or whether it's not, and it wasn't last weekend, certainly, but you see cramping and injuries. And so I don't think it's anything different than usual.
Josh Thompson is the sports editor of the Journal News here in Westchester and the Poughkeepsie Journal in Dutchess County. Josh Thompson joins us here on the Sports Report. Westchester Talk Radio, I'm John Marino. Josh, the activity, the action you've seen so far and what you've heard from your colleagues out there covering all the different games and all the different sports. Give us a rundown of what we can expect this fall sports season in football, in soccer, volleyball, et cetera.
You know, I think you're going to expect a normal season with a normal postseason, which I think is the number one thing that people missed last year. I don't think that the playing fewer number of games, you know, not traveling as much. I think those were things that people understood considering the circumstances. But I think that the sectional tournaments, the playoff games were missed. And I think you saw in the spring all the excitement that came back from lacrosse and baseball and softball, having a postseason, you know, I think that probably ramped up the excitement for this fall. And I think that's the number one thing you'll see. So it doesn't matter what sport you're talking about. I think that, you know, you'll see those will be the things that people will probably appreciate more than anything. There was a lot last week of people saying, well, it's nice to be back playing games in the fall. It was strange in the spring. You know, we're in the spring, they were certainly happy to play. And I think there's definitely some truth to that. You know, getting back into the routine, the weather feels the same, it looks the same out. You know, your field isn't hard as a rock, maybe like it was in March. So, you know, I think those are changes that are welcome, but I think you'll really see people appreciate it if and when the playoffs return and if they return successfully.
Will there be a state tournament this year?
Yeah, there will be a state tournament, and right now, you know, that's everything's full go with that. The NYSPHSAA, which is the governing body of high school sports in the state for public schools, they had put out their guidelines, and there are a few things to kind of, you know, for teams to keep an eye peeled on. If you win your section and somebody on your team tests positive for COVID and you have to have your team be shut down, you know, you won't be allowed to participate. They're not going to change the date of the game so that you can make it through your quarantine or what have you. So that's, you know, that's a possible wrench that could be thrown in, you know, to a sectional champion if and when that occurs and if the tournaments do go off as normal. But other than that, you know, they're as you would expect them to be, you know, the way they're set up for the postseason. So we'll see if everything goes well. You know, should have an exciting group of state tournaments this year.
If it comes to a situation where a team is not able to perform, to compete because of a COVID lockdown, or they have to pause for a few days, and that date of a playoff or championship game is not changed, is that fair?
Yeah, you know, I think it has to be, right? Because you have the schedules built out. You know, New York State, there's no overlap, so you can't go play into the winter season or right. The winter season go into the spring season. So the schedule is all built out backwards. So, you know, you can't have games postponed and moved. And also, you know, once you set a precedent, it is how much is that precedent? Can that be kind of massaged, everybody has different circumstances, right? So if you can't make the day of the game on a Friday and they move it to Sunday, you know, and you know, that team has a valid reason. What's to say the next team doesn't have a reason that's equally valid, even if it's different. And, you know, that's why I think they kind of draw the line that they did. And it was the same thing last winter. I mean, look, there were basketball teams that I know of that were quarantined. And if their first round of that regional tournament was delayed by a day, they would have been eligible to play. And they weren't able to play. But it is, you know, it's such a slippery slope. Like, once you make one change, you know, what's to prevent you from making the second change and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why you have to have that in place. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, obviously health and safety is more important than winning a game. So you know, I think that's just kind of the way that, that it'll be approached this year.
Yet, if I were a coach with all the effort and time, et cetera, and the energy that I and my team and my coaches put in, and I get to a state playoff game or maybe a championship game, soccer, football, let's say I have 22, 23 kids on my roster and 14 of them come down with COVID or exposed to somebody who may have had COVID and there has to be a quarantine, I'm stuck left with only 8 or 9 players. I'd be pretty ticked off at that point. And if I were a player, I would be too, because that might be my only chance at a championship.
It's just the way it's going to be, though. You know, it's just the risk that, you know, there is risk in going to school and playing sports. And then, you know, also remember, part of the reason there were so few sports last year is because they didn't want to have, you know, athletes from different communities mixing, because that could lead to infection and so on and so forth. And then you have one school goes down and leads to two other schools. And that happened, you know, that especially back in the winter and fall last fall. That happened where, you know, one team had a COVID case, had played three other opponents and kind of knocked those three opponents out. That was, you know, pretty regular. A lot of these quarantines and shutdowns weren't because somebody on that team got sick, but it was because the team competed in close quarters against, you know, an opponent that had gotten sick. So, you know, there's just so much that goes into it. But again, it's if you're going to put health and safety, you know, above all, I mean, I think it's just kind of inevitable. So, you know, you'll see that happen, I think, at some point. But again, remember, the CDC guidelines are not what they once were. So things have definitely shifted in the last 6 or 7 months, and that's allowed for more competition, fewer quarantines, and you just look at it from a student perspective, you know, more time in the classroom and less time at home quarantining. So, you know, that's a positive, and you have to hope that helps, you know, the season continue as much of a regular way as possible.
Josh, we're off to a good start with the fall sports season. Let's hope this continues and we make it through without too many problems or shutdowns or pauses along the way. And then look at the bright side. We get to do it all again for winter and spring.
Yeah, absolutely. And you hope that the indoor sport, this is the thing that I think about the most, is not what happens this fall. You wonder how the indoor sports, how successful they are, because everything's indoors during the winter. So I think that's, you know, something I think you'll see, you know, people should have an eye on. I think that's probably almost more important than what happens with the fall sports, because I expect, just like they did in the spring, I expect the fall sports to go off, you know, relatively successful for most schools.
I know you'll keep us posted right throughout the school year. And Josh Thompson, we thank you for joining us here on the Sports Report on Westchester Talk Radio. Thank you, Josh. Great to have you. As always, let's do it again come the winter sports season, if you're available and you have the time, obviously.
Thanks, Josh. All right.
Thank you. Josh Thompson here on Westchester Talk Radio. I'm John Marino, and this is the Sports Report brought to us by people like Robeson Oil, the house that service builds, also by Lipolis Electric. Don't be left in the dark. Get Lipolis by Hightower Westchester, managing your wealth to a fiduciary standard, by White Plains Hospital, by Michael Labriola, landscape design and construction of Armonk, and by Tompkins Mayo Pack Bank. Catch all of our Westchester, Rockland, Putnam, Dutchess, and Fairfield and Orange County programming, too, on our YouTube channel, hosted by our parent company. All of this produced by Shark Creative at a Shark Creative YouTube. And get the Westchester Talk Radio app. Take it with you anywhere and everywhere you go. It's called Westchester Talk.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio,
powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative,
and made possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center.
Visit SafeSecureVinyl.com.